This JCO podcast provides observations and commentary on the JCO article, Risk of Synchronous Distant Recurrence at the Time of Local Regional Recurrence in Stage 2 and 3 Breast Cancer Patients by Newman et al. My name is Ann Schott, and I am Clinical Professor and Associate Director of Clinical Research at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, United States of America. I am a medical oncologist with a focus on breast cancer. This paper describes one of the first ever studies of the initial management of recurrent disease to be reported from the National Cancer Database, otherwise known as the NCDB. This database comes from the hospital registry data that are collected in Commission on Cancer accredited facilities, so in other words, the hospital-based cancer registries. These data are used to track patients with cancer, including their treatment outcomes, and the data in the NCDB include more than 70% of newly diagnosed cancer cases nationwide. It's important to understand the source of data in order to interpret the findings of the paper. This was a special study that goes above usual data abstraction for cancer registrars. Following very detailed instructions, cancer registrars abstracted information on 10 randomly selected stage 2 or 3 breast cancer patients diagnosed in 2006 to 2007. Specifically, the abstracted data included the date and type of local, regional, and distant breast events, the imaging received, and mortality of the patients. The window for abstraction began 90 days after surgery for the original breast cancer and continued for 5 years. Over 1,200 institutions participated in this effort, and a little over 11,000 patients are included in the data set. The researchers then queried the aggregate data to answer a few key questions. First, they determined what proportion of patients in the sample had a local regional recurrence, and what kind of local regional recurrence they had. Was it in breast, in lymph nodes, or on the chest wall after a mastectomy? And second, within the group of patients with local regional recurrence, they estimated the proportion who also had synchronous metastatic disease. Synchronous was defined as metastatic disease diagnosed within 30 days of recurrence of cancer. There are a number of useful observations described in this paper. The rate of local regional recurrence was relatively low. Only 4% of stage 2 or 3 patients diagnosed in 2006 to 2007 developed a local regional recurrence within 5 years. In contrast, 12% of patients diagnosed in that same time period developed distant recurrence without local recurrence. Clearly, management of stage 2 to 3 breast cancer is better at preventing local recurrences than distant recurrences. In the 4% of patients who did have local regional recurrence, synchronous metastatic disease was found in about a quarter of them, or 27%. The risk of synchronous distant metastasis was highest in women with recurrences in lymph nodes or on the chest wall after mastectomy. Patients with in-breast recurrence without lymph node recurrence had a lower risk, with 15% of them having synchronous metastases. Not all patients with a local regional recurrence received imaging to look for metastatic disease within 30 days. Just 54% of patients were imaged. Imaging was ordered more frequently in patients with chest wall and nodal recurrence. And as already mentioned, patients with chest wall and lymph node recurrence were significantly more likely to have synchronous metastatic disease detected. However, in the non-imaged group, the detection of metastatic disease at a later date was no different than in the imaged group, at about 20% in each group. So how might these observations change practice, and what are the limitations of this study? The authors suggest that based on these data, providers should consider systemic imaging for patients with local regional recurrence who may be at higher risk of synchronous distant metastasis, specifically those with post-mastectomy, chest wall, or lymph node recurrences, with the idea that this may spare patients with metastatic disease unnecessary surgical and radiation treatments. It is interesting to note that this selective imaging of higher-risk patients is what appears to already be happening in general practice. So it is not clear that any push to change national practice patterns is needed. And there really wasn't any evidence in the data set to indicate that patients who did not get imaging received inappropriate local therapies or had any other adverse outcome. A key limitation of retrospective data sets in general is that they are never fully able to capture what else was known by the medical providers that caused them to recommend a specific test or management plan. In this particular data set, the researchers were unable to distinguish patients who presented with symptomatic versus asymptomatic distant metastases. Therefore, it is likely that the imaged group of patients included patients who were already strongly suspected to have metastatic disease, for example, a patient with bone pain, or a patient in whom the provider felt a palpable lymph node in a location that would be technically metastatic, like a cervical lymph node chain, or maybe just the bulkiness of the disease or an inflammatory recurrence presentation. This limitation is precisely why observational findings, such as in this paper, are not easily converted into management recommendations or, for example, a quality measure to mandate that all patients with chest wall or lymph node recurrence get systemic imaging. So if we can't develop an algorithm or quality measure for everyone to follow, what should we do? The bottom line is that providers need to consider both the likelihood of finding metastatic disease as well as how the information might change management of the patient before deciding to order imaging. For example, if a patient who comes into the office with an estrogen receptor positive chest wall recurrence who is not adherent to endocrine therapy and, oh, by the way, has some back pain, you would be pretty suspicious of metastatic disease. If you imaged her to find multiple sites of bone metastases, you would likely treat her with an anti-osteoclast therapy, endocrine therapy, and maybe also a CDK4/6 inhibitor, rather than surgery. However, if she didn't have metastatic disease, she might get surgery, chest wall radiation, chemotherapy, and endocrine therapy. This is a case where your pre-test suspicion is high, and you would completely change the plan with the knowledge. On the other hand, if a patient is found on mammography to have a small in-breast recurrence and no suspicious symptoms, it may be reasonable to proceed with local therapy such as mastectomy and adjuvant systemic therapy. Her chance of having something on imaging is at most 15%. In this case, the pre-test suspicion is relatively low, and it is not at all clear whether finding low-volume metastatic disease should alter the plan so that the patient would not be treated with curative intent. So, should you really go looking? In the world of treatment algorithms, pathways, and quality measures, these data do not provide sufficient evidence of benefit of imaging to introduce a quality expectation of imaging of all asymptomatic patients with any type of local regional recurrence of breast cancer. It may be that the management of patients with recurrent and metastatic disease is not something that will ever be amenable to prescribed pathways. Medical providers must make the decision based on whether imaging will change the management plan in a way that benefits the patient. This concludes this JCO podcast. Thank you for listening.
For more original research, editorials, and review articles, please visit us online at jco.org. This production is copyrighted to the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Thank you for listening.